Hi, this is Josh, and welcome to the Inside Sales Podcast, a podcast about selling without selling your soul. I am joined today by, who is this on, who do we have today?
Leslie Vinesse, back, live and direct.
Leslie is with us, and today, Leslie and I are going to be talking about a question. And the question we're going to be talking about is this one. Why do some salespeople absolutely crush it while others tank? And Leslie, of all the questions that we could be talking about today, why are we focused on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I see and what I'm a firm believer in is the ability to choose your attitude and how massive of an impact attitude is on sales. I think sales can become sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You believe you'll succeed, you do, you believe you'll fail, you do. And I know you'd recently read some research on that even.
Yeah, totally. I was reading, of all things, Psychology Today, and there was a stat in there which I found fascinating, which was 60 to 70% of the time when we have spontaneous thoughts, they are negative. And we have those negative thoughts. And as we know, when we have them, those influence our behaviors. So one of the first tips or tactics that I'll talk about, and then I'll throw it back to you, Leslie, is if you're feeling yourself having those negative thoughts. So let me give you an example. Hey, sales manager, I called these 10 people and they're not interested. That's a negative thought. If you feel yourself having a thought like that, they're not interested. The first step is to just be aware of it and accept it, that these thoughts are going to come in. Accept it and then flip it around a little bit. So instead of saying they're not interested, you might say, who else can I call that might be interested? Or you might say, what can I say to be more interesting? So yeah. If they're not interested, how can I be more interesting? Or how can I call someone else that might be interested, because the world is a big place? So yeah. That's sort of like, you know, a tactic. Another one is, let's say your sales manager is teaching you something, or you're at a seminar, or you're reading a book, and you think to yourself, I know this already. I know how to cold call. That's again, what's called a fixed or a negative mindset. Catch yourself, be aware that you're having that thought, especially if you're attending any webinar or any learning situation, and think to yourself, how can I go deeper? There's a great book that I always bring up, Leslie. It's a book on bunny suicides, caricatures of different ways bunnies are committing suicide. And so you have a bunny, you know, strapped to a railroad track, and a train's about to hit this bunny. And this author could have written just one volume of bunny suicides, but he went deeper and created like three or four volumes and was very successful writing these books. And so the thought is that you can always go deeper as a learner.
Bunny suicide, huh, Josh?
Yeah, bunny suicides. One of them was a bunny had its head in like a CD changer from back in the old days, and he had his finger on the close button of the CD changer. So, you know, these are just different ways the author was figuring out how to commit suicides for bunnies and going deeper and going deeper and going deeper. Again, part of getting into that positive learning mindset.
Part of it is to not ever read those books.
Right. Yes, that's true.
Oh, it's so true, though, because there are so many things in sales that aren't in our control. But one of the things that we can absolutely control is our attitude. That is something that we have 100% power over. And that's not to say that it's easy. That's why I say it's choosing your attitude. It's something that you have to actively commit to every single day. Sometimes, maybe when you've heard those 10 no's in a row, you have to commit to it repeatedly throughout the day. And I think, have you ever heard of the fish philosophy? It's from Seattle, from the Pike's Place Market, that beautiful outdoor market.
I've heard of the market, but I don't know what the philosophy is.
So they have this really incredible philosophy, and it's something that was shared with me when I was in college. There's four different tenets, and it's really just about like embracing your situation. Those guys all day long, every single day, are outside in Seattle where the weather is you know, kind of questionable, kind of dreary, throwing fish around. And they're able to make that an amazing job, a job that they love, a job that other people want to do, throwing fish in bad weather. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive. And one of their core tenets is, well, they have four tenets, and one of them is choosing your attitude.
I love that. I'll tell you, getting a little more tactical. If you're a new SDR, you were hired because of your unique personality. So don't feel the need to go ahead and use all of the tried and true templates that your company has. Certainly you could test them out, but be you and be unique and have fun with your prospecting can give you a positive attitude. So Ryan O'Hara over at LeadIQ talks about this all the time with his outreach. He happens to be a piano player and a singer. And for his outreach, he'll use his talents to be able to prospect. So by having a little fun with your job, if you're an SDR or you're a hunter, what can you do that's a little bit different, that's true to yourself, that makes you feel good, that even if the prospect doesn't respond, you enjoyed doing it and felt good. It felt good on your soul. So that's another tip that we have. You know, get together with a couple friends that are maybe not salespeople. Maybe one's a writer. Maybe one's an IT. Do like a little talent audit. Get together. Treat yourself like a little mini agency. Say, what creative way can we come up with to get the attention of this person that we think we can help? And maybe that's a video like Paige Kemna did to be able to get a job. She sang her resume and then she got these job offers. Now she's an SDR at Zoom. You know, that's her talent. You know, it could be magic. It could be a skit. You know, could be, what do they call those things when everyone gets together and does a group dance? Those mob flash dances. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Flash mob. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Everybody loves magic. Let's stick with
that. Right. Magic. Maybe you're an artist and you draw the caricature of your prospect doing something interesting. But that's another tip to get into that positive mindset is if you're getting burnt out on the phone, you know, step away from it for a while, walk away, take a little breather. And what can you do that feels better for you? That's a creative way to make a really good first impression.
Oh, it's so true. Whenever I'm seeing myself sinking into more of a negative headspace, I acknowledge it. And then I give myself permission to walk away and take a break. So for me lately, there's a Cardi B song called I Like It, and it's a great song in my opinion. And so I'll take, you know, the 4 minutes, go listen to that song, maybe sing out loud and make strangers uncomfortable. But I come back and I feel like a boss again. I'm ready to go out and have that positive attitude. And send those signals to my prospects that I'm excited to find a solution with them. I'm excited to partner with them.
I love that. I don't know Cardi B, but I love the intent of that one. Let me share another one. So this is a more of a negative one. You know, why I've seen some sales reps tank, especially new reps, and even seasoned reps as well. And it has to do with this idea of intent when you are having conversations with prospects or clients. And the intent that I see is this intent that what it is that I have is what this person needs. So I'm coming into the sales conversation with this assumptive energy. This assumptive energy that what I have is what someone needs. And we talked about this on the podcast before, but even though your product has a value proposition and can help people, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person you're speaking with needs that particular help at that particular time. The example that I always talk about is my grandma's toaster. It was awful. It only made one slice of toast and it only made it light. But despite that, I was never able to sell her a new toaster with two sides and dark. Why was that? Even though that toaster was better? Because for grandma, she only wanted one slice of toast. She wasn't in a rush and she liked it light. So going into a sales conversation, not with assuming, but seeing if there's a problem that you might be able to help with. So the sale is whether there's a fit rather than being assumptive. And the people that are assumptive oftentimes tank because the prospects and the clients feel that sales energy. It's almost like the mall kiosk person that says, "Can I ask you a question?" and wants to rub sea scrub, you know, on your hands.
Yeah, next thing you know, all of a sudden your entire forearm is covered in a salt sea scrub and you're looking around for help. Yeah, I've been fooled by that before.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, one of the things that I do, and this is a really easy action item for our listeners, is that before my calls or before my in-person meetings, I take a moment to take a breath and I put a smile on my face. And for sure, does it sometimes feel awkward and a little bit forced? Absolutely. That lasts for maybe 30 seconds, 60 seconds. And afterwards, it becomes a natural smile. And what I try to do is to go into every meeting very confident that there is something I can help this person with. So, you know, kind of along those lines, I don't go in necessarily assuming they're going to buy from me, but I know there's absolutely some way that I can help this person. So I try to really set my intention to get to the bottom of that. And, you know, gosh, maybe it's just a restaurant recommendation, but maybe it's going to be a sale, but there's some conversation to be had because it's, you know, two humans with the right mindset sitting across the table from one another.
I love what you just said. And it's a great point. This idea of confidence, if you are not confident that what you have can help someone, if you're not 100% certain, that can also be sent. So Leslie, what do you do? I mean, this confidence is huge because I've been on the receiving end of salespeople and I could feel that they're not confident. It's almost like if I were to hire a personal trainer, I don't want the personal trainer to say to me, what do you want to work on today? Mm-hmm. I want the personal trainer to say, hey, Josh, I know you want to finish a triathlon. So today we're doing this. Like, that's what I want in someone that I hire. I have this saying, like, be the personal trainer, don't be the waiter or the bartender taking the order. And so Leslie, what do you do? What tactics or tips do you have to help people get that gravitas or that confidence, and sometimes even challenge the prospect? Josh, you don't want to run that drill today. You want to run this drill and here's why. Like, how do you get that attitude, that Arthur Fonzarelli attitude, I guess?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, sales is absolutely, and I kind of hinted at this earlier in the conversation, that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you go in thinking that they're going to say no, they're a lot more likely to say no, because you're going to be sending subconscious clues that tell them to say no, whether it's weak questions, saying statements, but then saying a statement like this. You're going to be sending those verbal or maybe those physical cues that you don't believe in your product. So I think for me, and I've been very blessed in this department, that I've always sold products that I deeply, deeply believe in. But I think to have that confidence, the easiest thing to do is to find a passion for your product. And not all products are sexy. That doesn't matter. You can do research on the product, read your company's case studies, read testimonials from the people that have been helped, do research in the industry on the problems, the challenges that your product is solving. Find that passion, and that will automatically become a natural confidence because you know you're offering something that helps people.
I love that. And another tactic that's related to that, especially if you're a new SDR, you just got out of college and you don't know what it's like to be the CMO that you're calling because you've never done that job before. Ask someone in your company if you could talk to a couple clients, a couple CMOs, and just have a conversation with them about how their life is better after it is that they're using what it is that they bought. And again, that can give you a stepping stone towards that confidence. And again, yeah, reading trade journals and immersing yourself in the subject matter. All right, I got one more, Leslie, and this is an interesting one. This idea of an abundance mindset. And Leslie, you tell a really great story here. So I'll let you lead this one about the guy in the bar.
Oh, well, for years I was sharing that I was really lucky to get to hire a bunch of people right out of college and be their manager in their first professional job. And so you get a little bit creative with the way that you're training folks. You want to have relatable analogies. And one of the things I often found people struggled to grasp was the importance of kind of indifference or the abundance mentality in sales. So I'd use the analogy that, you know, maybe there's two guys at a bar and they're both fairly attractive guys, but one of them is sort of over on the corner of the bar, giving you a couple smiles, chatting with his friends, having a laugh, playing hard to get, if you will. And the other guy is in your face. Hey, 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 which one are you going to be more attracted to? And every time, of course, the answer is the guy paying a little bit more hard to get. So yeah, absolutely. Lots of fish in the sea.
That's exactly it. And so how do we translate that into sales? So I'll give you some tactical things. If a prospect says to you, hey, you're charging $15,000 and we only have eight. If you didn't have an abundance mindset, you might be thinking to yourself, oh my God, I got to get this client at all costs. And I have to start to negotiate with getting closer to the $8,000. With an abundance mindset, you know the value you're bringing to the client. You know that the investment they're making is commensurate with the value they're going to get. And you don't reduce your price. You might say something like, what is it about our price that gives you the perception it's too high? Are you comparing it to something else? We could certainly reduce scope if we need to. But having this abundance mindset doesn't make you feel as needy in sales. It's the same thing with cold calling and prospecting, right? If you keep cold calling and prospecting and you're chasing when they go dark, you have that needy mindset. It's the same thing if you sell something on Craigslist. I was selling my Fender Stratocaster guitar on Craigslist for $600. And some person called and said, I'll give you $500. And I said, you know what? I have six more people coming to take a look at it. If no one buys it by the end of the day, I'll give you a call back. And then within 5 seconds, he's like, I'll be right over. Again, it's not posturing. It's having an authentic belief that what you have is worth what it is that you're charging and sticking to your guns and believing that if it's not this person, there'll be 5 or 10 other people. You probably work for a company that has traction, that has clients. And it's sort of silly to believe there aren't more. The world, again, is a big place. So this idea of an abundance mindset, I think, is key to top what top performers do.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
So guys, that was a little bit on mindset, specifically as it relates to what top performers are doing and people that are not as good as the top performers, what sort of negative mindset. If you don't have the negative mindset, all the skill and the process in the world isn't going to help. Because as we talked about at the top, the mindset informs your behaviors. So that mindset is the foundational piece, which is why, Leslie, I think this was such an awesome episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get out there, get on the phones, get that smile on your face, and make sure that if you do fall into that negative headspace that you take a moment to listen to some Cardi B.
Yeah. And for the record, Leslie's husband, Chris, he was the guy standing in the back of the bar, right, Leslie?
He was indeed. Yeah. He won me over.
All right, you guys, this has been the Inside Selling Podcast, and we'll see you next time.